Hey everyone, welcome back. Welcome back to the Letters and Layers podcast. Welcome to any new listeners. This is your host, Amaka. It is Monday morning, July 1st, so you are getting me as close to real time as possible. The time this weekend got away from me. I planned to record this past weekend, but it didn't work out. But I'm always going to find a way, even if it means publishing a little bit later than I'd like. So if you're listening on publishing day, you are hearing me just from a few hours earlier. It's a beautiful day, and I plan on going out after recording. I have some clothes that I want to donate. I'm trying to do some closet cleanup. So I started that this weekend, and I have some clothes that I'm going to take to the Goodwill. I'm not completely done, but I just wanted to get the process started. And what else? Went out with my husband yesterday. On Saturday, what did I do on Saturday? Took a really long walk, and I went out for ice cream with a friend, and then did some just errands, did a little bit of shopping, returned some items. Well, one item, some sneakers that I bought that I figured I'm actually not going to end up using. And yeah, it was a pretty busy weekend, honestly. I have been, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I've been a lot more intentional about getting walks. Yes, I talked about this on the last episode. Not to be hyperbolic or anything, but I feel like regular, consistent walks, almost daily walks, has kind of changed my life, improved my quality of life drastically. And I want to keep it going. I want to keep it going. Like, I feel just mentally a lot clearer. I feel just better in general. I'm feeling physical improvements. And I think sometimes, especially with working from home, sometimes if you're not intentional, speaking for myself, if I'm not intentional, I can be in the house for several days. And I don't really think I knew how that was affecting me until I like intentionally started going out for walks. And I just feel much better in general. Like, and it's pretty easily accessible. You don't really need much. You know, maybe some comfortable walking shoes or even some comfortable sandals. And, you know, even if it's 10 minutes a day, even if it's half a mile, it's something. So if you are willing, if you are able, go out for a walk today. Hopefully the weather is good where you are. So yeah, that's been amazing. And I tallied up all the mileage according to my Apple Watch that I did for the month of June, and it was about 84 miles. So I just want to kind of beat that by a couple miles in the month of July. I'm shooting for 90 and then eventually like 100. So yeah, go for a walk today and see how you feel. And maybe it'll be something that becomes part of your life too. So I've kind of already dived into how I'm doing. Things are going well for the most part. I can't really complain at all. I'm still watching couples therapy, but with it being July 1st, typically around this time of the year, I take a mid-year break. So that's essentially what this episode is going to be, and you can see from the title. I'm going to take a break and come back on August 1st and continue the couples therapy kind of like debrief, a situation that I'm doing, because there is a lot to talk about. But I think I should take this break. I'm looking forward to just having a little bit of time to myself. My birthday trip is coming up. I'm going to Panama in a couple of weeks. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm just looking forward to having some time to rest and reset in some ways. I was, you know, making final plans as far as hotel and travel and things like that a couple of days ago. And I was tallying everything I'm spending and I was like, oof, this is not cheap. I got the airfare I got for a good deal. I'm treating myself to a business class ticket for my birthday trip, and I got it for like $1,000, which honestly, considering that it's a direct flight from Chicago to Panama, it's a pretty good deal. So I was like, I'm treating myself. I'm turning 35. I am treating myself. And, you know, once I was tallying up like what hotel and like, you know, travel expenses there will cost, you know, it was up there a little bit. But at the end of it, I was like, you know what? I deserve this. I deserve this trip so bad. And I don't feel guilty about the money I'm spending, because what's the purpose of working and doing everything that you're doing if you can't every once in a while spend it on yourself and enjoy yourself, you know, in this way? So I'm just like, this trip might be a little bit pricey, you know, because I'm picking nicer hotels. I'm booking itinerary that is most convenient for me, that might cost a little more, but I don't care. I don't care. I work really hard. I do the best I can in any given moment. I give a lot of myself, and I really just want to pour into myself with this trip. So I'm looking forward to that in just a couple weeks. And yeah, I will come back with a new episode after this one on August 1st. We are going to continue our conversation around couples therapy, finish that as far as the next 6 episodes go. And then I finished a little mini project last month with turning 35. I wrote a list of 35 lessons for turning 35. So after we finish couples therapy, I will do maybe a couple of episodes on that. I'm thinking do just one episode where I just say all the lessons, and then maybe the second episode I'll pick a few that really hit me, you know, and impact me a lot. So as far as I guess what to expect after the break, that is what I have in mind. Not leaving out the books at all. I'm not exactly sure at this point right now what things will look like as far as books go. I definitely want to return to All About Love, because we're kind of doing an ongoing series with that off and on. And, you know, definitely also include one or two novels for the second half of the year. But that's kind of what I'm thinking moving forward when we return, when I return, because I'm a one-woman show. It's all me. So, yeah. But I wanted to leave you guys with a quick review of Inside Out 2. I went and saw Inside Out 2 the day after it came out. I believe it was June 15th. I went in the theater. I saw it. I loved it. And then I immediately, as I was still sitting in the theater while the credits were rolling, I bought another ticket and went to another and went to another theater auditorium and sat down and watched it again. I loved it so much. I love this whole movie franchise, like the Inside Out movie franchise. And I think they're just doing such amazing work with their ability to personify emotions you know, in the animated form. And I think, you know, obviously it's marketed to children, but the first Inside Out came out maybe 8 or 9 years ago, where a lot of us my age were in like our early to mid 20s. And I feel like a lot of my generation and Gen Z watched Inside Out, the first one. And I think a lot of us have core memories around it because it was just, the first movie was so well done. Inside Out 2 was just as well done. A part of me almost wants to say that it was better than the first, but I don't want to go that far. I loved how they incorporated the new characters, anxiety, ennui, envy, and embarrassment. It's been a couple weeks since the movie has been out, so there may or may not be spoilers, but I just want to, you know what, let me just say there'll be spoilers, because I don't want to feel restricted when talking about the movie. So we are coming back to Riley in middle school, and she is on the verge of starting high school, and she's on a hockey team with some other friends. It's a big part of her life. And she is invited to come and join a training camp for a few days with other hockey players who are high school aged. And this is a possible opportunity for her to join this hockey team when she goes to high school. So we follow her through that process. We follow her through encountering these new emotions as she enters puberty. I love how they introduce that whole concept of puberty in the movie. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. And I really appreciate how they portrayed anxiety and how so much of what that character did in the movie mirrors how anxiety can play a role in our life. I have an episode maybe last year where I talked about like good and bad anxiety. Like, you know, there's a type of anxiety you might have that's kind of like maybe like a feeling, like a tugging feeling like something isn't right, or you have to look into something a little bit deeper, or maybe the type of feelings that are telling you, you know, maybe something is wrong, or take a second look, or, you know, maybe this, maybe that. We have these feelings, gut feelings sometimes, that sometimes we follow, sometimes we don't. That's what I was referring to as far as good and bad anxiety. Good anxiety. And then bad anxiety is like irrational fears and oftentimes rooted in trauma and doesn't allow us to live our life. Whereas good anxiety, something is telling us what to do. And if we don't do it, we might be making a wrong decision. And I think I used the example in that episode about how I was considering another job, but something was telling me it wasn't a right fit. And then ultimately how the interview process ended kind of confirmed my suspicion. So that's an example of like good anxiety of, you know, my gut telling me this is not the right direction. This is not the right decision to make. But anxiety as it's portrayed in the movie is the type to where it makes Riley catastrophize. It makes Riley think of the worst case scenario with things. It makes her do things she doesn't want to do. It makes her, you know, turn her back on her friends. It makes her, you know, do things that are not like her to fit in with the older high school crowd. And then ultimately, the role of anxiety in her life in this movie culminates to her just being a poor team player when it comes to the final tryouts. And then she is, I'm not sure what the right term is, but the coach tells her to take a timeout and she has to go to the penalty box. And she starts having a panic attack in the penalty box. And inside her, anxiety pretty much loses control of itself and can't stop what it's doing. And then Joy takes it upon herself to bring Riley out of that space and pulls Anxiety off of the, you know, control console or whatever. And then Riley is finally able to start to calm down. And it looks like in the movie, she is employing like the five senses strategy. Like, let me actively point out what I see. Let me pay attention to what I hear. Let me pay attention to what I smell. Let me pay attention to what I touch. That's a strategy that's often used. Like, if someone's actively having a panic attack and someone is there with you, they'll be like, what do you see? Like, what do you see? Focus on what are you looking at right now? What are you hearing right now? What are you smelling right now? What are you touching right now? Just to kind of get them out of that emotional place and back down to earth. So I so much loved everything about this movie. I teared up towards the end, and I highly, highly encourage anyone and everyone to go see the movie. Let me see. I wrote down a couple of notes about the movie, and I want to make sure that I talk about everything. So they were just, you know, having seen it immediately after again, I noticed that the name of the hockey team, the name of Riley's hockey team, middle school hockey team, was called the Foxhorns. And then the name of the high school hockey team was the Firehawks. And I was like, I'm curious why the initials of the teams match. I don't know if that meant anything, but I was curious about that. And what else? I loved the wordplay as far as imagery. In the movie, like, the stream of consciousness was an actual stream, and depending on what Riley was thinking about, that would be what would be in the stream. So, like, when she was talking to one of the high school hockey players, they were talking about being hungry or something like that, and she was like, oh, I could scarf down a slice of pizza right now. The pizza started to float in the stream, so I feel like that was really cute. And then the brainstorm too was actual. It was like when anger and joy and disgust and fear were trying to get back to headquarters and they got caught in an actual brainstorm. Because I think this is when Riley was trying to figure out how to get to, how to find out like if she made the team or not. And she was thinking about going to, I hope I'm correct. I'm not exactly sure, but I think this is the part where like she was contemplating going to the school and looking at the coach's notebook to see what she thought of her, which she eventually did do. So those were one of the things that Anxiety kind of forced her to do, because she was like feeling very insecure about herself in these moments and, you know, wasn't sure. So I loved the animation of the brainstorm. I loved the animation of the sarcasm. So this is like a huge, almost like Grand Canyon-like. And when you yelled from one side to another, the chasm would kind of like morph the tone of what you were saying. And then whoever was on the other side would be like, why are they being so rude? You know, because the chasm would morph the tone of the voice. So even if you were asking or saying something genuinely, it wouldn't come off that way. So I loved that too. I was curious as to why embarrassment was the emotion that was helping sadness. So I was really trying to like, think that through. Maybe that was just the emotion that the, you know, creators of the film wanted to use to help sadness when she was kind of sneaking, when she snuck back into the headquarters and was trying to figure things out before everyone else got there. So I don't know. If folks have ideas, please share with me, because I was like, is there a specific relationship between sadness and embarrassment that they're trying to show us or tell us that I'm missing? I really appreciated how they visualized how we can think about worst case scenarios, and then it gets to the point where it's almost you can't control it. Like Anxiety had the projection room where she was directing all these other little army men and women or whatever, and they were drawing possible worst case scenarios, and joy and disgust and fear and anger came in and were trying to like change the direction of it. And then I forget what happened immediately after that, but I just like how they used that to show how our mind can really race and think that the worst is going to happen when the chances of that happening is like near zero. So I talked about, you know, how the panic attack was depicted in the movie. And if folks who are listening saw the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Anxiety just kind of got out of control. It was pretty much like a hurricane or a tornado of anxiety that could not be controlled any longer, to the point where anxiety itself as a personified emotion could not release the grip on the control. And then I don't know what it is about the power of joy that was able to pull anxiety off of it, and then help Riley kind of calm down in that moment. This might be a little bit nitpicky, but I was curious why Bree, Riley's friend, who was a black girl, I was wondering why her emotions weren't melanated. Because I feel like, I mean, Riley's emotions had different colors, but I guess I'm thinking as far as like joy specifically. And I think her parents' emotions too, as far as joy, because joy is essentially the leader, you know, that's the message that's conveyed. I don't know. I just remember when they zoomed into her mind, I just expected joy at least to be her color, but she wasn't. So that's just a thought that I had. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I am certainly gonna see this movie again, whether it's on streaming. I'll probably, I don't know. I don't really own DVDs, but this is one of my favorite movies ever in life. And I don't really say that about many movies. There are movies that I've liked from childhood, from adolescence, but I think it's just how amazing of a job that they do with showing the role that emotions play and what happens if they get out of control. And it's a movie for all ages, really. So yeah, those are my thoughts as far as the movie is concerned. If you haven't seen it, please go see it already. Please go see it anyway. I'm not the type of person who tends to be discouraged if I really want to see a movie and I hear a spoiler or two. So, you know, I did share quite a bit about what happens, but it's one thing to hear it and it's another thing to really see it for yourself. So I still encourage you to check it out, or, you know, if it eventually goes on Disney Plus or something like that, you know, watch it there. But yeah, that's my review for the movie. I am gonna end the episode here. This is the last episode for the first half of the year. I can't believe we're at this point already. I feel like the last 2 months have just flown by for me. May came and went, June came and went, and we are officially in the second half of 2024. I'm gonna blink and it's gonna be the holidays, I swear. Sometimes I'm just like, God, please slow down time. Like, what's the rush? But yeah. Thank you guys for listening as always. I appreciate you all. And please share, please recommend, please review on your preferred listening platform if this episode or past episodes, you enjoyed them. And I will be coming back on August 1st. Gives you time to watch Couples Therapy if you'd like on Paramount Plus. I believe you can get a free, like if you've never subscribed to them before, you can get a free like 1 week trial. So if you want, you can sign up, watch all the Couples Therapy episodes and then cancel. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that when I get back. And, you know, we'll do the episodes on my 35 lessons for turning 35. I'm very excited about that. I'm still building my blog. Please go pay it a visit. And I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, as always. And I'll talk to y'all on August 1st. Bye. Oh, 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 oh